Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We are going to look at that reading from 2 Timothy today, specifically narrowing in on verse 7, where Paul writes to young pastor Timothy and to us, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline." What are you afraid of? What are you anxious about and troubled by? Are you aware of how much fear and anxiety impacts you and cripples you? Where does fear and anxiety hold you back from being the person God has designed you to be and fulfilling the callings that God has set upon you and places before you? What makes you afraid? What makes you anxious? There's a whole host of things, right? We could sit here for hours probably listing all the things that could make us fearful and nervous and anxious, things that can cripple us from doing and being what God calls us to be and to do. From disease to unexpected tragedy to my Twitter feed. Lots of anxiety and fear-producing stuff in there. What are you afraid of? Paul reminds us here that God has not given us a spirit of timidity. He's given us a different attitude. He's given us a spirit of power, of love, of self-discipline. Paul wrote this to Pastor Timothy. He was young. He was put in charge of bringing order to this congregation in Ephesus, to teaching the truth in love, to establishing regular worship practices and more permanent pastors in this place. And Timothy, we see evidence in Paul's letter to the Corinthians and elsewhere in these letters, Timothy had apparently a tendency to be fearful and anxious. So Paul writes to give him this encouragement. For a long time, I had this verse blown up and taped onto my wall in my office because I was once a young pastor, once a long time ago. But the reality is, and maybe you're surprised by this, but the reality is I still struggle oftentimes before preaching, before doing like confirmation class, before something even like vacation Bible school, that room full of little kids. I will fairly regularly struggle with fear and anxiety about those things. And it can be crippling. And I go to a verse like this, right? And I remind myself of what Paul once reminded Timothy and today reminds all of us. God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Now, we have lots of things that can cripple us and make us afraid and make us anxious. But Paul is really talking about a particular thing here. A particular thing that we can be crippled from doing and afraid to do. If you look at the very next verse, what is he telling Timothy? And I would say by extension us. So he says, God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So don't be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me as prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God who has saved us and called us to a holy life. Timothy, it would seem, had some fear about testifying about the Lord. And I bet you do too. It seems pretty obvious that the vast majority of us are afraid of talking openly about our faith. Why is that? Fear is one of the big reasons, right? We were talking in confirmation class last night, and we were talking about the first commandment. And the first commandment, to have no other gods, and to love God more than anything in the world. And we talk, what does that look like, to love God? And one person said, well, to demonstrate my love for God, I would talk about him to other people. And then we kind of observed that's a very natural thing, right? When you love something, what do? You talk about it. You have a really good meal at a fancy place, and what do? You take a picture of it, and you put it on Instagram or on Facebook. Grandparents, you love those grandkids, so you pull out your phone and you show your... Now, because I don't think you carry around the little book of pictures anymore, probably, do you? Right? But you pull out your phone and you show your friends those pictures because you love your grandkids. What you love, you talk about and you share. Right? I'm pretty excited to share with you. Yankees are up 2-0 on the Twins. Right? What you love, you share. You talk about. So we kind of wrestle with that. Why are we so inhibited from talking about God and who He is and what He's done for us? And there might be a few other reasons too. Maybe He's not always the love of our lives that we're giddy to talk about and share. And that's a whole other problem, right? But I think a lot of times it's fear. It's fear. Fear of what other people are going to think. Fear of what their reactions are going to be. Fear of offending someone. Fear of losing a relationship or a friendship. And we're scared and we keep our mouths shut about the most important thing in our lives. God and what He has done for us in Christ. And the reality is, it's not just pastor people like me and Timothy long ago who have a calling to speak the good news of Jesus. I have a calling as a pastor to do that in a setting like this, but every single person, no matter what their age, who has been baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, has been given a calling to make disciples of all nations, to tell people about the forgiveness of sins that Jesus won for us on the cross and in the empty tomb. That's your calling. But you're afraid. Some of that, I think, goes back. We have this good concept that I think has gone completely amok in our society. This concept of the separation of church and state. It was intended that the government wouldn't come in and strong-arm people to believe what they said we should believe and to practice in a way they said we should practice. That was the intent of that marvelous separation. But what it has morphed into is an entire culture that presses us never to speak in any circumstance about the thing that's most dear and that's most important for every person. This relationship with God in Christ. And we have this fear in every circle that we dare not speak of that. But we have a lot more freedom and a lot more responsibility to speak to that than we allow ourselves. And the people that God has brought into your life, they need Jesus just like you do. They are also people who have sinned against God and against others. They are people that have guilty consciences, even if they try to suppress that. They are people that wonder about God and if they can be right with God. That wonder what's going to happen to them when they die. That wonders what's going to happen to the state of this world. That wonders where is God in the midst of all of this. See, the reality is that most people in your life are not hardcore atheists that are determined to humiliate you. That's a very, very small percentage of people. Most people around you have some kind of a belief in the supernatural and are curious about God and actually are interested in talking about that in the right circumstances, in the right setting. And they would actually welcome a conversation with you. But you're still scared. Fear is normal. Fear is normal. It's normal to be afraid of all of the crazy stuff in this world. It's very normal, but it still isn't good. And it still isn't a good way to live. And God sees that. Why? If you look through the scriptures, you read story after story, you hear that phrase again and again and again. Do not be afraid. God understands that there are scary things in this world and scary situations, and that you might be afraid, but that's why he says again and again, don't be afraid. And he gives us ample reason not to be afraid. He gives us ample things to overcome that fear so that we don't have to let it own us and master us and possess us. Romans chapter 8, Paul says, rather than this fear, the spirit of timidity, what kind of spirit has God given to us? Romans chapter 8, 15, he says, you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear. Fear is such a cruel taskmaster. Completely cripples us, owns us, possesses us, and rules us. God says through Paul, he did not give you a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear. Rather, you can be free of this. He says, rather, you have received the spirit of sonship, the spirit of adoption. And by him, by this spirit of sonship, by this spirit of adoption, we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. The scriptures say that God has given us the Holy Spirit of Jesus to dwell in our hearts, and that the Spirit testifies and reminds us who we really are. That we have a God, a Father who loves us for the sake of Jesus. That Spirit moves us to cry out to God, Father, Father. That Spirit testifies and reminds us of everything that God has done for us, right? That God, that because of Jesus, we have nothing ultimately to fear. The biggest thing we had to fear has been taken away. That's an eternity of damnation apart from God. And the Spirit reminds us that in the cross of Jesus, all of our sins, all of our failures, all of our fears, all of our alienation from God has been swallowed up in the death of Jesus on the cross. Not even death is the final word, because Jesus walked out of the grave alive. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Death has been defeated. Damnation has been defeated. Our sins have been defeated. We have no ultimate reason to fear. We're safe with God. In Jesus, God is for us. In Jesus, God is with us. He has your back. We have a spirit, the spirit, the spirit of sonship, the spirit of adoption, and by him we cry out, Abba, Father. Not a spirit of timidity, but the spirit of power. Paul says elsewhere that the power of God is the gospel. It's the gospel that makes us right with God. It's the gospel that has overpowered the devil and all of his works and all of his ways. The power of God is that gospel, that reality that God is for us and with us in Jesus. That we have a spirit of love. John, the apostle, says that perfect love drives out all fear. We sang it in that first song, that the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Perfect love. God's perfect love for us has the power to drive out every ounce of fear. That the fact that Jesus loves me perfectly and completely, no matter who I am or what I've done or where I've been, I am secure in that. And I don't need to be afraid. But what do we do with that fear? What do we do when we struggle with it? When we're afraid to tell somebody about Jesus, when we're afraid of all the other junk in life, what do we do with it? Remind ourselves of these promises, right? Of these realities. We go back to God's word and remind ourselves of these things. When I'm struggling with anxiety, when I'm struggling with fear, I try to get alone with God. Not easy in a household with seven other people, but I will at times try to go up into my bedroom and close the door and lay down on my bed and just cry out to God. And just try to steady myself with the promises of God. I remind myself of things like the psalm for today. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. He's your fortress. He's your protector. And I pray, God, help me. I'm a mess. I need you. I try to go into my car. You might find me in here. I try to get somewhere quiet, alone with God. And I pray. I pray. I've done that since I was a middle schooler. Middle school was hell. I don't ever want to go back. I'm sorry for you guys. I got picked on. And I remember laying in my bed at night, and what got me through was talking to God. God, I don't want to go to school tomorrow. God, I'm scared. God, help me. And remembering what God had done for me. Remembering Jesus and his love for me. And that got me through that. It's got me to stand up in front of a lot of confirmation classes. Because middle schoolers still freak me out, I guess. Gets me to stand here. Gets me to talk to other people about Jesus. It doesn't necessarily take away the fear, but the promises of God enable me to stand up in the middle of it, even when I'm feeling messed up inside, to do what I've been called to do. And he can do the same for you. God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. God is for you. And even when you don't feel it, you can still sing these songs, right? I'm not afraid anymore. How many times have you sung that and you've still been scared? That's okay. It's not a lie. It's not genuine. You are speaking, you are singing, and you are praying for that to be your reality. And God does it. He gives you those moments where you stand strong and you stand tall and you're confident in his love. Even if you're a mess inside, you stand up and you do what God calls you to do. And you go where he sends you because he is for you and he is with you and he loves you. Amen. And the peace of God, which truly surpasses all understanding, may it guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.